We all left the tub room and came out in the hall to meet her, to ask about McMurphy. She jumped back 2 steps when we approached, and I thought for a second she might run. Her face was bloated blue and out of shape on one side, closing one eye completely, and she had a heavy bandage around her throat, and a new white uniform. Some of the guys grinned at the front of it. In spite of its being smaller and tighter and more starched than her old uniforms, it could no longer conceal the fact that she was a woman. Smiling, Harding stepped up close and asked what had become of Mac. She took a little pad and pencil from the pocket of her uniform and wrote, "He will be back," on it, and passed it around. The paper trembled in her hand. "Are you sure?" Harding wanted to know after he read it. We'd heard all kinds of things, that he'd knocked down 2 aides undisturbed and taken their keys and escaped, that he'd been sent back to the work farm, even that the nurse, in charge now till they got a new doctor, was giving him special therapy. "Are you quite positive?" Harding repeated. The nurse took out her pad again. She was stiff in the joints, and her more than ever white hand skittered on the pad like one of those arcade gypsies that scratch out fortunes for a penny. "Yes, Mr. Harding," she wrote. "I would not say so if I was not positive. He will be back." Harding read the paper, then tore it up and threw the pieces at her. She flinched and raised her hand to protect the bruised side of her face from the paper. "Lady, I think you're full of so much bullshit," Harding told her. She stared at him, and her hand wavered over the pad a second, but then she turned and walked into the nurse's station, sticking the pad and pencil back down in the pocket of her uniform. "Hmm," Harding said. "Our conversation was a bit spotty, it seemed. But then, when you are told that you're full of bullshit, what kind of written comeback can you make?" She tried to get her ward back into shape, but it was difficult with McMurphy's presence still tromping up and down the halls and laughing out loud in the meetings and singing in the latrines. She couldn't rule with her old power anymore, not by writing things on pieces of paper. She was losing her patience one after the other. After Harding signed out and was picked up by his wife, and George transferred to a different ward, just 3 of us were left out of the group that had been on the fishing crew, myself and Martini and Scanlon. I didn't want to leave just yet because she seemed to be too sure. She seemed to be waiting for one more round, and I wanted to be there in case it came off. And one morning, after McMurphy'd been gone 3 weeks, she made her last play. The ward door opened, and the black boys wheeled in this gurney with a chart at the bottom that said in heavy black letters, "McMurphy, Randall P., postoperative." And below this was written in ink, "Lobotomy."